Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
So let's just bow our heads. Let's just pray and ask God to come in and just consume us this morning. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ this morning, Lord, that what we've already heard in song and in testimony. First priority, God, you're everywhere, God. You're in the schools, whether the people believe it or not. And you have a right to be there in Jesus' name. But Lord, you are here right now to do a work inside of us. So, Lord, we pray that every heart, every mind, the eyes and ears would be open to the Word of God to come into our lives and not leave us like we are because you love us too much to ever do us that way, God. There is so much more for us. For your glory, everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Real quickly today, let's just go ahead and I want to put up the very first note and just jump right into this morning. How many of you know that I believe that everyone faces a time when you question God? Come on, anybody ever done that? Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I want to talk to you afterwards and see what your secret was. And it's not only that we question God, most of the time it's we're questioning, and it's what about what we think he hasn't done and what he's not doing in our lives. How many's ever done that? I think everybody does that. And I know that we are living in a time in society and a culture where, believe it or not, and I hate to bust your bubble this morning, but we really do think we know everything about everything. Come on now. We're living in that time where I know everything I need to know. When it comes to God, I know the bad, or I got this. I know. Listen to me now. You, me, nobody knows everything. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you this morning. You don't know. Tell that neighbor that needs to hear that, you don't know everything. Now turn to your second choice and tell them. Say, you may be my second choice, but you don't know everything either. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a high five too right quick. All right. Whether we like to agree or not, or acknowledge it or not, our knowledge is limited. But if we live long enough, hopefully we get a little smarter. Amen. Come on, amen. I'm still trying to do that myself. But how many know that this is God's word about us that we don't know everything? I mean, that's in the Bible. Did you know that's in the Bible that you don't know everything? It's in there. One of the points I want to show it to you this morning, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says this right here. Go ahead and put it up. This is the Lord speaking. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, poke that neighbor that needs to hear this. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways. Oh. Says who? This ain't somebody's idea. This is the Lord telling us. His thoughts are not ours, and our ways ain't the same all the time. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Look at the next verse, lest you think it's not in there right. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, how many would agree with that? That heaven's up there, we're down here, it's a higher place. All right, if that's so, then he says, so are my ways, God's ways, higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So, again, real easy, make sure that person next to you understands the know-it-all, that that's not who they really are. There are things about God we don't know. There are things about God we won't experience till we get to heaven. We have a writing about what we'll see in heaven, but we don't have the full knowledge. That's why we have to go to heaven. But while we're on earth, I want us to operate in as much wisdom and knowledge as we can. Amen. And part of that wisdom is understanding we don't know everything all the time. I cannot explain to you everything that happens in the world and why it happens. And that's why we have to be a people called faith. We have to be a house of faith, a person of faith. We got to have the God that's faithful, and we do. Amen? Amen? But this is, that verse right there, that's exactly why we have these times when we don't understand what God's doing. Not only in our life, look around at the world right now, all the chaos and the seemingly disasters constantly happening. Lord, why? And sometimes we don't get an answer we like or an answer we understand. But I got good news for you, and it's the next note. Put it up. I don't care where you go, no matter what you or the world goes through, the people of God, shout at me if you're a person of God this morning. Come on, yeah. The people of God, you and I, we have an awesome promise. Why? What is it? God will always be there for us. He'll always be there no matter where we're at. He will be there for us and to us and through us if we'll let him. That means when we go through the bad times, he's going to be there. When we're having the good times, he's going to be there. When you don't understand things, he's there. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's always there. He's always there. The question is, where is there? If he's always there, where is there? Let me just give you the answer to that this morning. There is exactly where you are. There is wherever you are. There is whatever you're going through. There is whatever your circumstances are. Believe it or not, you may not can see him. You may not can feel him. You may not think you can hear him, but he's there. He's not just here, he's there. I don't know about you, but I have a God that's already in my Monday working things out for me. Amen. Amen? He's not just the God of the right here and now, he's the God of tomorrow. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. So touch your neighbor and say, he's already there. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing on Monday, he's already there. Now these scriptures are going to be a little different for this message today. But I promise you, we're going to end up in a good spot. So touch it every day. Just hang on and follow closely. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is what we call the Great Commission. It's what it's known as. The church has really dumbed it down to what we call the Great Suggestion. We act like this is more of a suggestion than it is an actual commission. We act like it's a buffet. If we really don't want to be that Christian that goes out and tells the world about Jesus, then we can opt out of that. I'm sorry, no one in here gets an opt out. That's my first priority as part of this verse. They are doing the Great Commission of God. Yes. It's not a suggestion to go into the schools. It's a command. Hallelujah. It's a command to take God to work with you. It's a command to have him in your marriage and in your home and with your children. It's not an option. So quit treating it like an option. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
But let me read these scriptures so you're very familiar with them. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, everybody say, all authority.
All authority.
So Jesus is declaring how much authority he has.
All.
What does all mean in the Greek?
All.
You're dead gum right. That's good. All. That means there's nothing out of his side of his authority. All authority has been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth. Both places. And now here we come to what we call the Great Suggestion in the church today. Go, therefore, and make converts. Go, therefore, and make converts. Make converts. Make converts. Make converts. Make converts. What does it say then? It doesn't say converts. It says what? More on that to come in about 5 weeks. Just be here. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so many times we shut that down right there. We can quote that. Most Christians were taught to quote that at some point in your life. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But that's not the end of it. Look at the next verse. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And a lot of times we stop right there. Go into all the world, teach and preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them to do what God says do. The end. No. And lo. Everybody say lo. This is a scripture, if you don't like to fly, that gives you biblical grounds to stay off the airplanes. He said, lo, I am with you. He didn't say he'd go up there with you. He said, lo, I am with you. A lot of us like to tempt fate and we go up high. Okay, but anyway. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. And we think that's a little tagline. Kind of a little, yeah, okay, he's giving us the good stuff. Go and make disciples. Teach them to observe all things. But that is the most important part. I am with you. Because if he's not with us, we won't go. If he's not with us, we won't baptize them. If he's not with us, we ain't got nothing to teach them. And if we try to go without him, if we try to baptize them without him, and we try to teach them without him, then we have just messed that person all up. And we're messed up too. The first thing to get and understand is he is with you. And when he's with you, he gives you the ability to go. He gives you the ability to baptize. And he gives you the ability to begin to train them up and disciple them. Yes. Make a disciple, not just a convert. Can I have a better amen right there? Amen. Let me give you that last verse again out of the Amplified Bible. Now again, this is the words of Jesus written in red. And the Amplified says it like this in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28. It says, teach them to observe everything. Everybody say everything. Everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days. And it gives you a definition of it, kind of. Perpetual, which means he's not going to skip a day. He's not going to be here today and not be in your life tomorrow. It's perpetual motion. It's perpetual every day. I'm going to be with you, he says. So it's perpetual. The next thing, uniformity. Uniformly, he's going to be with you, which means I'm not going to show up today in a greater measure than I'll show up for you tomorrow in a great measure. Right. And see, I think a lot of times we see Jesus and we try to measure him by our actions and our attitudes sometime and go, well, Jesus ain't really here a lot for me today. I know he's still alive, but he says, I am uniform on you every day. Right. You're not going to get any less of me on any given day. No. Now, the only lesser we may have of him is on our side, right. But it'll never be because he's not there. Uniformity, and on every occasion, I like that one, I am with you in every one of your occasions, when life is going good, when life is going bad, when life is just seems like it's just muttering along, nothing's happening, when your marriage is fantastic, when your marriage is in the tank, when your marriage is in the in-between season, when your kids are being good, he's with you. When your kids are being bad, he's with you to tell you how to whip them and straighten them out. Amen? Touch your neighbor and say, he's with you. But don't overlook, don't think that was in there just as a little happy. That is the main part. I, God Almighty, am with you. This gives you the strength to go into your schools. It gives you the strength to go into town. It gives you the strength to get into church. And without him, you're not going to do anything. It's going to make a difference eternally in people's life. Everybody say, that's good. I want you to understand something. The very moment you get what we call born again, you surrender your life to Christ Almighty, you're never alone again. Not from that time on. I was 16 years old when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And although I thought there were times in my life when God was way out there and I couldn't be around him and I'd kind of gotten away from him and I'd messed up, I thought, well, he's done with me this time. I'm telling you, he's done with me this time. No, he was always there. Because once you become his child, you don't ever not become, you don't get unchilded by the Lord. Amen? You don't get unchilded. You are a child of God. And daddy always is there for his kids. Amen? Some of you need to be coming on Wednesday nights. We're seeing, the title of Wednesday night's message is this next month is Seeing God as a Father. A good Father. Amen? Everybody say a good Father. Amen? But see, here's the problem with that. As Father God wanting to be that ever-present Father in our life to lead us, to guide us, direct us, protect us, and keep us in those times, even when we don't understand. How many of you growing up between the ages of about, we got to back the age down now, from about the age of 8 to 18, thought the only reason your parents existed was to totally mess up your life? Come on. I want to see a few more real hands. Yeah, I know you. I know my oldest is going, both hands and doing this. We heard so many times growing up, I can't wait till I get 18 and get out of this house. And ever since she left, she's been trying to move back in. And they did move back in for a little while there in between. They moved upstairs, and I kept telling them, she said, Dad, I said, this is like biblical times, baby. There is no more room in the inn. But parents, in those times, and there's times like that when we as children of God, before we begin to mature and know that kids don't understand every decision their parents make. And when the parents are really making the best decision for the kid during those adolescence and teenage years, sometimes the kid wants to rebel, going, I don't understand why you don't want me to have fun. Because I don't want you to die. What you see as fun leads to death. I didn't understand it with my parents. My kids didn't understand it with me. That's why my nickname was Hitler for a few years. Now, let me tell you this. I would allow them to say that in joking. But if they ever said it in a tone where they meant it, their little rear end would have been mine. Ain't no way you're going to disrespect me with that and be real. Amen? In the same manner, let's don't disrespect Godfather. Amen? God the Father is not one to be disrespected. And even when he's doing something and we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't hear it, we don't know about it, he still is to be honored. We went from laughing to almost crying right in one sentence. But because he wants to be and he knows he's ever present, the devil's full-time job, I believe, on every person's mind in here is to get you not to believe Father's not with you. There are people who think they go on vacation and leave Jesus at home. I'm serious. They go on vacation and they'll sin openly out in front of everybody and then try to come home and pretend they're to church. It's like you didn't take Jesus. Like you told Jesus, Jesus, you stay right here. We'll be back in about a week. Come on. I know people who live their life outside of church like that. Listen to me now. God is with you everywhere you go. He sees everything you do. You haven't hidden, I haven't hidden a single thing from our Heavenly Father. Have I hidden things from my earthly father? Yes. Absolutely I did. But my Heavenly Father saw everything I've ever done. He knows every thought I've ever thought. And yet he still loves me. But he loves me too much to leave me on a path of destruction. He will send things in my life and people in my life and circumstances in my life. Why? To get me back on the right road. And if you're not in tune with God, you'll see these things as God's not real and God's not doing enough for me and God's not here. And he's... Oh, that's a little too real sometimes. So everybody say, the devil's going to tempt me not to believe God is with me. Now, one of the biggest things, and I looked at this and I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense at first, but when I begin to study it, John the Baptist... I believe John the Baptist's life was a perfect example of what we're talking about today. Of knowing that God is real, knowing he's there, but then having doubts. Because again, I believe we all have doubts at some time. Has anybody ever doubted your salvation since you got saved? I know I have. When I got born again, I know I got born again. But there's times in my life I'm like, well, am I even saved? God, you ain't even talking to me. What did I do? Did I make you mad? What happened? But that was on me, not him. Come on. John the Baptist was one of the greatest examples of what I'm about to explain and what we've been talking about so far. Now check this out. Now John the Baptist was the dude. This cat was called the greatest prophet up until that time. Come on. It's what Jesus said about him. This guy prophesied Jesus. I mean, he spoke of Jesus before Jesus came on the scene like he did. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, the words of John. John is saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he, talking about Jesus here, he who is coming after me, he's mightier than I am, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Thank you, Lord. He's prophesying. There's one coming, guys. And I know he's coming in my time. And then you go down to the book of John, and John's reading of it. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and prophesied and put this title on Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Tell me John didn't know this man, Jesus, was Christ, Messiah. Woo! He got to pronounce it. One of John's titles is the forerunner of the coming of Jesus Christ. He was the announcer of it. He announced it to the world. Through revelation knowledge in the Spirit of God. We need a generation that has the John the Baptist anointing at this point in his life. Because we need to be announcing the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the church's job to announce. He's coming back, y'all.
Yep.
Amen. But I'll get on that later on down the line. So here we have, nobody's knowing Jesus quite like John did at that point in time in life. But then after John baptizes Jesus, and I mean, you got to understand, John didn't even want to baptize Jesus because this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John says, mine's just unto your repentance right now. This guy's taking care of everything. And he says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And God, Jesus looked at him and said, we must do this to fulfill the word of God. So John, I'm sure, in all humility, is going, man, this is awesome. He baptized Jesus. And then John declared the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descended upon this man, Jesus, and it remained on him. He knew Jesus in a way that you and I never met him in that time and era. But then something happens. Jesus goes away into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He's tempted. He beats that. He comes down and he begins his earthly ministry of what God's called him to do. And John's still hammering down in the wilderness. But Herod, King Herod, begins to get a little thing with John and ends up arresting John and puts him in prison. Okay? John is in prison. Jesus is out preaching the gospel. Jesus is doing the work of the kingdom of God. John's in prison. Jesus is free. John's in prison. Now, you got to understand, John also knew of and had heard that Jesus had declared in the temple when he read the scroll was handed to him and he opened up to the book of Isaiah and he began to read and said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears today. He knew that Jesus had proclaimed himself Messiah also. Matter of fact, let's read that. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 18. The words of Jesus when he was handed the scrolls in the synagogue. Go ahead and put it up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's next? Watch this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And then the Bible says, now watch this, to proclaim liberty, freedom. To who? Those who are captive. Other translations say to those who are in prison. Then it goes on and says this, and I'm here to recover the sight to the blind, and I'm here to set at liberty, which again is freedom, to those who are oppressed. And then Jesus said, he closed the scroll and he said, today within your ears this scripture's been fulfilled. I am that person. I'm the person John said I was. Where's John?
In prison.
He's in prison. Where's Jesus?
Free.
He's free. And he's declared his role in the earth. I'm here to heal the sick, to cast out the demons. I'm here to, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. I'm here to anoint it, to preach the gospel to the poor, to send the healing to the brokenhearted, to give freedom to those who are in prison, and recover the sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. John met two of those. John was in where?
Prison.
He's in prison. He's captive. And jail's not fun, especially those prisons. So I'm sure he was very oppressive spirit was in there with him. So he's captive, he's in prison, and he's oppressed in there. And he knows Jesus has declared, this is why I'm here. Can you for 1 minute fathom what's going through John the Baptist's mind at this time? Yo, where's Jesus at? I mean, where's Jesus? Dude, where? And his disciples would come see him in prison, and people, I'm sure every time, where's Jesus? Is he on his way? Is he headed his way? Where's Jesus? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who has declared he's come to set the prisoners free. Here I am. I'm a prisoner. I'm oppressed. Where's the man? And then, why is he not coming for me? Why is he not showing up? Why is he not doing what he says he's supposed to do? And my friends, I think we fall right into that subject all the time. Where you at, Jesus? Why did this happen to me? Well, now that it has happened, why ain't you showing up like I think you ought to show up? Why ain't you doing what I think you need to be doing? Man, it got quiet in here, guys. Where's Jesus? Why has he come to set me free? So John As he has some disciples, his disciples come see him that's also traveling with Jesus. He says, I got to know because I'm doubting now. Because I'm not seeing what I think I need to see. Come on. I'm not feeling what I think I need to feel. So I need you to go back with a message for this cat. Send this message to Jesus, and we're going to find that message in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 2 through 5. And when John, talking about John the Baptist, heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said, are you the coming Christ, or do we look for another? Woo! We went from behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, whose sandals I'm not even worth to carry, to are you even him? Or is there somebody else I need to be looking for? And that's all because of his situation, his circumstances, and he ain't getting exactly what he thinks he needs to get at this point in his life. He could even be pulling the card of remind him who baptized who. Y'all need to remind him of that. He came to me for his baptism. And when I baptized him, that's when the heavens opened. So I must have done that. No, I don't think he went there. But I think a lot of us go there with our things. Lord, have you not seen everything I've done for you? And how dare you not showing up right now? My marriage, my finances, my kids, my job. So I'm just going to take things into my own hands. It's quiet in here today now. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? So Jesus is going to answer them in verse 4. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said to them, these are the words of Jesus. Now watch this. You go and tell John the things which you've heard and see. Next verse. That the blind see and the lame are walking. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's what you go tell him. Now notice what Jesus didn't say here. Listen to me now. You need to understand this. Everyone, Jesus did not explain his actions to John about John's circumstances. Understand that. Everybody say, get that and you crawl. He didn't explain himself. All he did. Go ahead and just put up the next note. Jesus pointed to what he was doing. Jesus said, here's what I'm doing. Tell John what I'm doing right now. Come on. What I am and what I'm going to do. Are y'all okay? You see, we get so caught up in our world looking at what Jesus, we think he's not doing, that we forget what he is doing.
Amen?
Amen? We forget. Yeah, come on. We forget that we had enough health to get out of bed this morning, get ourselves dressed, drive up here in a vehicle, not walk, not crawl, not ride, not fly. We got here in a nice vehicle, got us transportation, and we got to walk into a very nice facility, set in an air-conditioned building, got clothes on, got food waiting on us, and man, we're blessed. We're blessed, and we don't even see it. And the first little thing that goes wrong in our life, we go to whining about Jesus. Why ain't you doing this, God? Where are you at? Are you even the real one? I just should forget religion altogether and go over here and do my own thing. And let me tell you something, there's a whole lot of people waiting on you over there. And they're going to make you feel at home over there, but you know you're at home with God. Amen. You're at home with God. Your marriage is at home with God. Your children is at home with God. Your life should be at home with God. Because he's there. And he's doing things whether you see it or not.
Yes.
But then Jesus, now, a lot of times we close that story there. But Jesus added one more thing to tell John. Come on up. Now again, everybody say, written in red.
Written in red.
Words of Jesus. Put those words up. And by the way, tell John, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Whew.
I'm not going to tell John what he wants to hear. I'm going to tell John what I'm doing. So John ought to know to focus on what I'm doing and the mission God has sent me here for. John, you're not going to live forever. I'm not going to be on earth forever. We both got an assignment here. But you get so caught up in your assignment, you forget that I've got another assignment too. God wants to make it all about you the moment you make it all about Him. And He makes it all about you. He's there for you. But don't get caught up in the semantics of everything you think ought to be happening. I stand before you today, and I'm not a millionaire or a billionaire yet. I think I should be. I think I have a plan to advance the kingdom of God and build things that God can only do with that kind of money. But you know what I don't do every day? I don't go to, well, God, if this hadn't happened in my life, are you even real? No, because I see a mountaintop where there's a city of only 500 people, and today over 350 of them sitting here at this church. Miracles come in all different sizes and shapes. So don't despise your miracle because somebody else looks different from yours. You focus on what God's doing to you and through you. And if it feels like nothing, enjoy that season. Because it's not nothing when God's there. It's something you can't see. It's something you haven't surrendered to. It's something you haven't let go of yet. But He's there. But when you begin the system of comparing, I'm comparing this ministry to this. I'll be preaching this, I don't know when. The scriptures say that you're at absolutely one of the most stupid places you'll ever be when you start comparing yourselves among yourselves. That's the dumbest thing you can do. I see churches do that. I see people do that. I see marriages do that all the time. Everybody say marriages. Marriages, and here's what's so stinking about family and marriage in this part. You'll jump on Facebook and you'll see pictures of them standing at the beach or getting on a cruise ship or by their new truck or their new home, and you're like, oh, the perfect marriage. But you don't see behind the scenes when he's beating the snot out of them. Or she's out here running around. They don't show you that. But yet you compare yourselves to everybody else. I got one marriage. I told you I'm married to my favorite wife. She's been my only wife. And that's the only one I want. Why? Because that's where God is. I have 4 kids. I don't want any more. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But I love my kids because that's where God is. I love this church. Why? Because that's where God is. Oh, I could look around and be drawed off over here. I could look around and be drawed off over here, and money over here, and success, and different accolades and all this, and different things of financial gain, different things of material gains, and more friends that would really root me to leave Christ. I probably have more friends that would root for me leaving Christ than I would staying faithful. Well, that would be the juicy news. But where God is, that's where I need to be. And wherever you're at today, God will never step outside of His word and compromise it. Where's God? Where's God? What's He doing? Why hadn't He done this for my life? Why is everybody else over there? Their life, their marriage, their kids even look like they act right. Mine's over here tearing the shades off the walls. God, where are you? He's right here. And if you'll jump right in the middle of this with your life and sell out to this right here, I promise you He'll never leave you. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. If you go through hell, you won't be alone. I'll bring you out of hell. The last thing I tell people, you just don't understand. I'm just going through hell right now. Listen to me real closely. Keep going. Don't pop a tent. Don't start a little fire there and set up and just wallow in your misery right there. And yet so many people, that's what we do. We sit down and complain about and to God why he's not doing this and why you're not doing that. Ask God why they got that. Well, they got a new house. Lord, we've been wanting a new house for X amount of years. Celebrate what God's doing everywhere else. Be faithful to where you're at and watch what God will do to your life. You'll be amazed. And I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, how'd it work out for John? He got beheaded a few days later. Sure did. Lost his head. You want to know why? His time was up. His time was over. Because listen, had John the Baptist been able to come out of prison and go around, it would have split Jesus' followers. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Exactly. It would have split the church. Which is what so many people want to see today anyway. It would have split the church. So John's purpose was accomplished. And John was martyred for the glory of Jesus Christ. And he's in heaven right now, celebrated as one of the greatest prophets of the earth. Yeah, he definitely got his head back. Amen? So guys, what good does it do to live our life in constant turmoil, in constant drama, in constant frustration? Why not just surrender your whole life to God? But you don't understand, my past has been hell. Again, don't stop. Don't set up your camp in your past hell. You've got a future with God because he's already there. Amen? So forgive where you need to forgive. Forget what you need to forget and focus on Jesus. Stand to our feet this morning. Blessed is he who is not offended because of Jesus. Don't get offended because of what you think God's not doing. Don't let that lie. Don't let that deception come into your life, come into your marriage, come into your kids, come into your church, come into your work. Don't let it, because let me tell you something, when that offended spirit gets in, it just rolls downhill. And we wonder why kids today and family, young families today are falling out of church left and right. It's because of what mom and dad taught them. Come on. It's what mom and dad taught them. Don't miss next Sunday. Two services, 8:30 and 10:30. We need help for both services to pull this off. So see the people out there that need help. And I usually don't give you the title, but I'm going to give you the title. It's a weird one. Don't try to figure it out because you won't. But next Sunday, I'm going to bring an Easter message called, are you ready? From Goliath to Golgotha. From Goliath to Golgotha. Oh, it's going to be very interesting. You don't want to miss this. If you've got friends, get them here. Because we've all got our battles that need to come to the cross. Amen? Just bow your heads with me this morning. If you're here this morning, first of all, thank you for coming. But the way we close out a service is we always offer anyone and everyone a chance to surrender your life to Christ. You may say, well, I went to church and I remember doing it in the youth camp, doing all this stuff right here. It doesn't matter. What matters is how you're living. Well, I feel far away from God. Well, I promise you, he didn't move. But I can promise you, I've moved before. And anytime I've ever moved away from God, it's my mind that I had to make up to come back to God. And if you've never came to him for the first time in your life, we want to give you that chance to come to Jesus today. We're not asking you to join a church. As a matter of fact, you will not join a church today. If you want to, we'll tell you, just don't worry about that. Let's wait. The main thing is we want to just get you to Jesus Christ, who's always there for you. You will not be becoming a religious person today. As I've told many people, religion will send you to hell as fast as anything I know. You can be religious about anything. What we want you to have is an authentic, personal, one-on-one relationship with a Heavenly Father who loves you and who is always, always, always there for you when you're up and when you're down. Who you can always come running back to His Father's arms, crawl up in His lap, lay your head on His shoulder, tell Him everything you've done, good or bad, and Him give you the instructions that a father would to bring you back to where He wants you. But if you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, and today you know you would go to hell, you don't have to know that anymore. You can know you can go to heaven by surrendering your life to Christ. With the strings attached, if that's you today, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I'm not walking out of here without knowing that I'm going to heaven. Anyone? Maybe you're online watching. Let us know. But how many of you would today stay with me like I have? I've already confessed to you. There's been times in my life I've questioned God. I've wondered if He was even real, or I knew He was real, but did I do enough stuff to make Him not love me? Did I fail Him enough to make Him turn His back on me? And the answer to that's never. He turned His back on His Son where He'd never have to turn His back on you and me. So today I'm talking about coming back into the realization of a Father's love that loves you, that He sent His own Son to die for you. And for you to live a life knowing that you can't get away from Him. I know people who has tried to get away from Jesus at a bar. I know people who's tried to in other illicit affairs and relationships and pornography, adultery, drugs, alcohol. All these addictions in life come from one thing, trying to get away from God. My friend, you'll never be able to outrun Him. There's not enough whiskey, there's not enough beer, there's not enough drugs, there's not enough sex to take you out from His callings. You're never going to get away from Him. He's always calling. Now, you don't have to answer, but you will stand before Him and answer one day. I want Him here to say about every one of us in here, well done. I don't want to hear a single one of you Him say, depart, I never knew you. So, friend, today you got to make your mind up. Do you want to have a Father who's always there because you're faithful? And even when you're not faithful, you know where to go, and you turn and you go back. And if that's you this morning, just lift your hand and say, Father, I'm ready to come to a new level of knowing Your presence is with me. I'm not going to take another vacation without You, God. Come on. You're going with me to work. You're going with me to school, God. You're going home with me when I get off of work, going into my home, going into my marriage, going into my kids, going into my workplace. Lord, as we joke around here, Lord, I'm even going to take You to Walmart when I go to town. I want You ever present in my life, God, because I know You're always there for me and You have the best for me. Several hands have been lifted, and I want to do the thing out of Numbers chapter 24. It's called the priestly blessing. If you want to receive it, just lift your hand up. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace that can only come in the name of Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Come on, let's give Him praise in this house. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.